Morning, birds.
How's everybody? You know, birds were just, wow, this is holiday season. And Thanksgiving, it was Black Friday yesterday. It was, let's see, over the weekend, and now it was Small Business Saturday. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. I think we just need a special show today. This is officially Leave Me the Hell Alone on Monday. Stevie Ray Vaughan on Leave Me Alone Monday. Well, we're going to leave you alone a little bit. We'll try to make it happen on the beginning of a new week here. It's 6 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright, and we have an interesting show. We're going to go to New Zealand today. I'm I'm psyched. A little radio adventure, a live visit to New Zealand. So, yeah, well, did you go over anywhere over the weekend? Federal officials caution Americans returning from Thanksgiving travel to assume that they are carrying the virus and to quarantine themselves. New research suggesting that people are most infectious about 2 days before symptoms begin and for 5 days afterward. I know a lot of people that had, you know, done, you know, car trips and hung out. I think I only know one person actually flew somewhere. Anyway, we hope you're doing all right. The drug maker Moderna says it was applying to the FDA for emergency approval of its coronavirus vaccine. This is going to be vaccine in the news week. Be checking that out. In the world of Washington, the Supreme Court is going to hear arguments today on President Trump's efforts in the final days of his presidency to exclude unauthorized immigrants from the calculations used to allocate seats in the House. This is basically him trying to overturn the census here. If the court rules for the administration, it would upend the agreement that the census must count all residents, whatever their immigration status. You know what I did this morning? I pulled out some stuff on lame duck presidents, and I looked at probably the worst that we had. Well, I gotta update that. It was James Buchanan. Now it's Trump. So the worst guy now passes Buchanan, and was talking about all Buchanan was the one right before Lincoln, who just fiddled his thumbs as the Civil War broke out. Trump's going to try to surpass that. This case is riddled with practical complications. Census Bureau officials say one thing, they can't produce the required data till after Trump leaves office in January. This is all about apportioning how many people represent a particular area and where the congressional districts are drawn and all that stuff. Yeah, the Constitution requires the congressional districts to be apportioned, counting the whole number of persons in each state. That's all it says. That's all it says. Persons. All right. In July, Trump issued a memorandum taking a new approach for the purpose of a reapportionment of representatives following the 2020 census. It is the policy of the United States to exclude from the apportionment base aliens who are not in a lawful immigration status. Yeah, I'm sure he wrote that himself. A Second Amendment case decided last week. This is the other thing happening in the court this week. By a federal appeals court in Philadelphia is a candidate for Supreme Court review. And this, of course, is the new court with Judge Barrett, who is part of all that. Get this. So this is a, I don't know what to make of this. There's a gun rights thing here. Microphone Jones is on scene today. Maybe I'll ask him about this a little bit later anyway. He knows a little bit about guns. So the Second Amendment case concerns a woman whose name is Lisa Folagitaria. She'd like to buy a gun, but here's the problem. She's a felon. She pleaded guilty to tax evasion. So under federal law, she may not possess firearms. So she sued, arguing that the law violated her Second Amendment rights. So they're going to look at that. So good news for felons, huh? If you're a felon. You know, it's funny. I have a medical marijuana ID card, cannabis ID card. You can't have one of those and get a gun in Chicago. So, all right. What else going on? A little more probably that we need to know about this. Argentine police searched the home of Diego Maradona, Maradona's doctor, after following the soccer great's death a few days ago. So the cops down in Argentina looked into his doctor's house. And what else? You know, this week we are going to be spotlighting stuff that you don't get anywhere else. And some of the headlines, we're going to try to get into some science stuff. Aaron, the science baron, will join us. What causes a ring around the moon? A halo has been spotted in skies around the United States. I'm thinking air pollution. I don't know. We'll see. We still don't know what's inside the sun. That's in Popular Science magazine. So, yeah, all right, now, wait a minute. At 10 after the hour, we have news from the White House.
Topcat, the most effectual Topcat, whose intellectual close friends get to call him TC, providing its with dignity. Topcat, the indisputable leader of the gang. He's the boss, he's a VIP, he's a championship, he's the most tip-top.
We have a new top cat in the Biden White House. When he was running for president, Joe said that it's time to put a pet back in the White House.
Yes, he's the chief, he's the king, but above everything, he's the most tip-top top cat.
So they had Champ and Major, who were German shepherds. I'm getting to the cat. Just give me a second here. In an interview with Fox 5 in Washington, Dr. Biden, the first lady, hinted that her husband, if he won the presidency, she would not mind getting a cat. She said, I'd love to get a cat. All right, well, so that's where we are. The cat's breed and name were not immediately available. The Bidens are going to be restoring a tradition of presidential pets when they move into the White House in January. Abraham Lincoln had a Secretary of State who gave him two cats, Tabby and Dixie. Lincoln was a major cat fan, and at some point he said that the cat was smarter than anybody in the cabinet. Now, other presidential cats included Tom Kitten, who belonged to Caroline Kennedy, and the most popular cat in the White House recently was Sox. Remember Sox? There you go. All right. All right, and I'll tell you something else. Wait a minute. We have an unfortunate segue here. Well, what else happened in the White House over the weekend? Joe broke his foot. I'll bring in the cat again. You want to? All right, let's do it again. Dateline Newark, Delaware. President-elect Joe Biden suffered hairline fractures in his foot over the weekend. I'm sorry. President Joe and I have similar matching foot injuries now. He was playing with one of his dogs. He's going to have to wear a protective boot for several weeks, his personal physician said on Sunday. The incident happened on Saturday. Biden's office said in a statement, the 78-year-old Democrat, I said he was old. We're both old. I said that. I have boots that you can't even get 2 feet into. Doctors initially thought the former vice president had merely sprained his ankle, but ordered an additional scan of the injury, and a follow-up CT scans confirmed hairline fractures, said Biden's personal physician, Kevin O'Connor. So, did you get all that? Why did he get hurt? He was playing with a dog. He's been playing with a cat. No problem at all.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
For the moon. Go for the moon. Go for the moon. Go for the moon.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars. Somebody wants, ask could I spare some change for gas? I need to get myself away from this place. I said, yep, what a concept. Use a little fuel myself, and we could all use a little change. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules that I'll hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. Go! You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
Smash Mouth, all-star. At 17 after the hour here on Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago at bleat.network, where we have a few things to commemorate. This is a Kaylee Cuoco, got her name right. Her birthday, played Benny in the Big Band Theory. We're going to play the Big Band song. Back to me, so maybe we'll have a Big Bang today. Winston Churchill with a birthday, a note about people in politics that you like. That coming up, and Jesus, there's so much in the world of holiday land in December. Microphone Jones, hang on, man, I gotta do that thing with the, I do that thing with the mic. Let's see here. Da 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 da. There he is. MJ, good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning.
Hey, so we just printed out the, wow, the holidays. This is four pages, man.
Yeah.
This is between now and the end of the year here. All right, today, so what do we got here? Today is Leave Me the Hell Alone Monday. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. You're supposed to give your money away, which is, we do that sometimes. What's the fourth? That's National Cookie Day. You guys do cookies at home? Do you make cookies, anybody?
Yeah, we do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah? How come I haven't seen them?
I'll bring you some.
The fifth is bathtub party day. I don't know. You just go and have a bathtub and a party in the bathtub by yourself. I don't think that's much of a holiday. I'm going to take that. I think we need to write these. All right. The fifth is International Ninja Day. How about that? Sixth, National Pawnbrokers Day. Oh, do you ever pawn anything?
No, never.
You never did?
Never.
Honest to God?
Honest.
Oh, man, you're kidding, really? all right. Let's see here. Jane Addams Day is the 10th. That's a good one. Jane Addams, founder of our current social work industry. That's on the 10th. How about the 11th, Official Lost and Found Day? You go to a thrift store and see if you can find a book that you lost or something you've misplaced. So you'd go buy it, you go back, you go and buy your own stuff back? Is that the idea?
That's what it looks like.
Lost and found? Huh. These are not good holidays. Huh? That's why people have seasonal depression.
Yeah.
All right, gingerbread decorating day. That sounds good. All right, National Day of the Horse is the 13th of December. Have you ridden a horse, MJ?
Never.
Should we do that for that thing?
I mean, it'd be cold, so I think we should do it probably in the summertime.
Well, but why don't we hang on? But the summertime is not the 13th. This is the see, this is why the Trump administration took over.
We already breaking the rules.
All right. So the National Day of Hearts. Okay, Cocoa Day is the 13th. Monkey Day is the 14th day. All right, let's dig this. December 15th is Cat Herders Day. We're going to be talking about cats. You and I did not discuss your pets yet. I don't think, do you have pets?
No, I don't have any pets.
Yeah. I can get you some cats. No?
Dog.
A dog? You want a dog?
A dog.
Right, well, you break your foot playing with a dog. Did you get that? You're listening to the news today?
Yeah, I'll take the gamble. That's right. The one we're going to take.
Okay. All right. I don't know what this is all about. December the 16th is Barbie and Barney Backlash Day. This is for parents of, like yourself. If that is the day, then you can tell, it says that you can tell your kids that Barbie and Barney don't exist. Does that come up in your house?
No.
Can you do Barney?
Woo-hoo! I cannot, but
I can. That's Barney. That was Barbie. No. We're going to do Barney later today. All right. Wow. Look at this. On the 17th of December, it's Wright Brothers Day. This marks the day 1903. And you know what? Honest to God, MJ, you know that I'm mostly truthful. I think I actually am related to the Wright Brothers. I think they were a couple of uncles, yeah.
I say we do some digging.
That sounds good. Yeah. All right. And my great aunt was the first flight attendant. She was kidding. She was the one that come over and says, you want more smoked almonds? No, that was not the one. But we'll do that. I think this is interesting. But I'll tell you, seriously, I looked into the history of the airplane, and it's fascinating. These guys had to figure out how to build an airplane, then had to figure out how to fly an airplane.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. All right. We got Underdog Day, Humbug
that's
Day.
That's my birthday.
Underdog Day is your birthday?
Yeah.
On the 18th of December?
18th, yeah.
No.
Me and my sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Oh, jeez. There it is. Okay. No. Hang on. All right. There we go. I don't know what we got. Okay, Underdog Day. And I got to make a note of that. Well, let's have a party. I'm thinking that we got to do some virtual fun here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to make a note of that. Underdog Day. Okay. Festivus is on the 21st. You watch Seinfeld? Alphabet Day is the 22nd. National Whiners Day is on the 23rd. Oh, I've got some candidates for that. And then, let's see, TikTok Day is on the 29th. Wow, we skipped. We missed Christmas here?
Yeah.
What happened there?
We skipped it.
All right. You know what? Let's do something slightly inspirational here at 23 after the hour. This is Winston Churchill's birthday. And Winston Churchill, oh boy, he didn't do that much except save the world. And he made a speech. In fact, this speech is tattooed on my daughter's arm.
Really?
Yeah. Here we come.
What General Vagon has called the Battle of France is over. The Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned on us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years.
Wait for it. What?
Men will still say, this was their finest hour.
Boy, it's a red letter week. Steely Dan 2 days in a row, huh? That's a song. Actually, it's a great theme from a bad movie. FM from Steely Dan. It's so static free on the internet here. It's unbelievable. MJ is with us, Microphone Jones. Hey, we're going to go to New Zealand in a second. We're going to talk to a fellow that we have been trying to nail down here. I just showed you a picture of New Zealand. Look at this. I wish I could hold this one up. It's mountains and snowfall. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I wish I could step right in and be there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess that's what we're going to try to do here.
Yeah.
We're going to see what's going on here. So, wow. I have all kinds of stuff we wanted to ask him here. Okay, here's some stuff. People go barefoot everywhere. This is someone who lives in New Zealand, or, you know, maybe we ask our guest. His name is Jill Hahn. So groceries are expensive. What about this? You see this? This is a picture. I'm holding a picture of coffee.
Yeah.
They say that coffee is the best in the world. In New Zealand?
That's a bold statement.
it's a bold brew.
Yeah.
The flat white was invented in New Zealand. What is that? Is that that's the thing with the cream on the top that's in the flour? Is that a flat white is?
Yeah, that thing, I believe.
All right. Wow. Okay. The Kiwis have perfected the art of coffee making. Nowhere else have I been where I can quite compare on the coffee front. So, okay. All right. How about this? I would say in most other countries I've been to, when you were finished with your meal, you ask for the bill and leave cash at the table. Not in New Zealand. Here you have to go up to the till and pay, so you don't leave any money on the table here. You know what else I saw here? I'm going to ask our guest about this. There's no tipping in New Zealand. You heard of that?
Really?
Yeah. Forget your 12.5% service charge. 12.5%. Wow. That's why there's no tipping in New Zealand. Or adding a little bit on to taxi fare. New Zealand does not have a tipping culture. I'm going to have to ask about that. Leaving money behind on the table is seen as accidental.
Sound like a tip to me.
It's my friends, right? My when I go out, if they leave money on the table, well, that is accidental.
Yeah. And,
yeah. All right. A friend of mine says left $10 on a cafe table as a tip, only to have the waitress run out after her to say, "Why you left this behind?" She thought it was an accident. All right. I think that is very interesting. So, all right. God, and just a boatload of other stuff here. Earthquakes apparently are ubiquitous. I'm wandering around the room here looking at all this stuff. How about this, MJ? New Zealand experiences 15,000 earthquakes a year, but they can't be felt because they're down deep.
Mm.
Oh, what about that? Have you been in an earthquake?
Never.
Never?
Never. How is it?
Well, I prefer, you know, going to a movie.
Yeah,
you know,
I could believe it.
I was in an earthquake in California a long time ago, and I'd never been in one. We, you know, you and I are from here by and large. Mm-hmm. So it was middle of the morning, and it was because I was still asleep. It must have been early morning. Anyway, I heard stuff rattling. Mm-hmm. On the shelves. I thought, what is that? And then it hit me. It dawned on me. Wow, this is an earthquake. And it was, I mean, we were away from the epicenter, but
yeah,
it was weird. It was weird. I'm going to have to ask about that. So, all right. 15,000 earthquakes a year. Oh. New Zealand is home to the most beautiful town, Queenstown, according to this correspondent. So lots of stuff to ask about here. All right. And we'll ask about COVID and all that other stuff. So a little bit of another virtual vacation. And tomorrow, and Jay, I know you got to be elsewhere. Maybe you'd be able to tune in. We're gonna do more mushroom talk. Tomorrow it's a virtual vacation to Denver, to the Denver Botanical Gardens.
Nice.
Where they grow mushrooms.
Nice.
In Denver. So we have a professor, a curator of mycology. So Jeez, I mean, there's no reason to be anywhere else but this show. Kind of.
I'll be there.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do something. You drink beer. I know you do. Today is the anniversary. The anniversary. Speaking of beer, today is the anniversary of the German Purity Beer Law. What is that? Well,
500 years of German purity law. Delicious. But what exactly does the purity law mean? Why had beer become a lost cause? And what does beer have to do with bread? But first things first, the history of pure beer started in 1516. Beer was considered to be a staple food at the time. However, savoring it did not come without risk, as all sorts of stuff had been used for making beer, such as poisonous and intoxicating plants like fungi or belladonna. Monks and nuns who relished beer preferred to use hops instead. It gave their beer a pleasant, bitter taste and made it last longer. Monks and nuns were expert brewers for a very good reason. During the 40 days of Lenten season, they were not allowed to eat. However, drinking beer was permitted. Hence, beer was also referred to as liquid bread. The Bavarian Duke William IV took a great liking in pure beer. The regent wanted to protect himself and his citizens from adulterated beer and dangerous ingredients. He wanted to ensure that everyone has access to safe beer, so he issued the Purity Law. The law stipulated, "Thou shalt use no other piece than barley, hops, and water for making beer." This recipe for high-quality beer began to spread all over Germany and eventually the entire world. But a beer enthusiast might ask the legitimate question, why yeast was not mentioned?
Why yeast?
Back then, they simply did not know about the important role of yeast for the brewing process, because beer would usually be produced near bakeries where the surroundings would contain more yeast than usual. It would work perfectly fine anyway. If, however, other microorganisms found their way into the beer, it was completely ruined, a lost cause. Today, beer is produced in modern breweries, but even the latest in brewery technology hasn't changed a thing about the Purity Law. What bears the name of the Purity Law will always contain but water, malt, hops, and yeast. There won't be any artificial additives, colorants, enzymes, or aromas. German high-quality beer brewed under the Purity Law has become famous throughout the world and is a real export hit by now. The EU even declared it a traditional food. But any beer lover might ask, only four ingredients? Doesn't it become boring after some time? Well, if we have a look at the German beer landscape, the answer will most definitely be no. Because there are more than 100 kinds of hops, 40 kinds of malt, and over 200 yeast strains. Even the origin of the water might influence the taste. These four natural ingredients and the brewing expertise of more than 1,300 German breweries allow us to produce more than 1 million different kinds of beer.
Excuse me. Oh. Sorry. That was a good piece of information there.
Definitely some good history.
Liquid bread. I've heard it called liquid bread before.
Yeah, I heard that too, but moms and nuns were able to drink it.
I know. Well, they had to. Yeah. It was kind of a year.
Yeah.
1487, this is the anniversary when the first German beer purity law went into effect. So that's why we were celebrating there. So yeah, only water, malt, and hops. How about this? I thought this was interesting. We're going to investigate this. I am fascinated by stuff that falls from the sky. On this day in 1954, a woman in Alabama, Mrs. Hewlett Hodges, became the first person known to be struck by a meteorite. Mm. So the meteorite, it was 6 or 8 inches in diameter. Geez, that's like the size of a softball, right? Or,
yeah.
That's big. So I read somewhere it's a meteor when it's in space, but when it comes to the atmosphere at that point, it becomes a meteorite. And that's the point where it hit her. It fell through her roof, leaving a 3-foot hole.
Mm.
Get this. She was only slightly injured.
Really?
Wow. So, all right, now get this. The United States Air Force then flew to her home.
To get it.
and took the 9-pound object back to Washington. The Hodges demanded that the rock be returned to them so their family could keep it as a souvenir. And I don't know what happened after that.
I think they should keep it.
I think so, too. We're going to find out. I mean, this is back in 1954. I'm going to Aaron the Science Bear. I'm going to deputize him to see what happened to this meteorite. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
But I love the Air Force at your... Hi, we're here for the rock.
Right. We need to take it and do some science stuff to it.
So, all right. That's going on. And let's see here. Wow. I can't top that. How could you possibly top that with you know, a meteorite falling from... And you never know. You know, you never know when... Oh my! Well, then that could—I really could happen any time. You think?
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. It is 17 before the hour, and the moment has arrived that we've been waiting for. We go live to New Zealand right now. Johan, good morning. Hello. There he is.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Are you in Auckland?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm situated in Auckland.
Okay, we have a big map here. Hey, our booth announcer, Microphone Jones, is here. MJ, say hi to...
Good morning, good morning.
He and I are both...
I'm Microphone Jones.
We're both ready to get on a plane and come out and see you. Now, you're not a native New Zealander, is that correct? You emigrated there?
Yeah, that's true. So, the thing was I just made the decision around 2019 to make the move to New Zealand after a whole lot of research. Like it seems that you guys are also at the moment looking into New Zealand. I did something very similar, and the more I discovered, the more I realized this is where I want to go stay. A better future for my children, basically. Eventually made the move. And what's so amazing about New Zealand, it's so multicultural. So it was not that difficult for me to adapt.
And Johan, where were you coming from?
I was coming from South Africa, yeah. So South Africa, yeah, we've had some challenges there, a few things that's been concerning. And for those reasons, I decided I needed a different place to go to. And yeah, I must say New Zealand was just standing up for me at that point.
You know, it's cool. I just, there are parts of this show that we need video. And you're doing a YouTube thing. We're speaking right now live. I'm in Chicago here. Johan is in New Zealand here. Next time we do this, I'm just saying off the air, we'll get some video monitors. We have cameras. MJ, we get on camera.
We definitely can.
All right. We put on makeup.
Right. I would really love that. I mean, that's something that I've even only started lately, is doing a little bit of streaming. So I'm doing two streaming parts even on my production, and I enjoy the interaction, the live interaction with people. And definitely would be awesome if we could do something like that in the future.
We'll plug your YouTube channel on our website. It's bleat.network. I'll make sure that people can find that. Interesting. So I was going to ask you why you started a YouTube channel. I think you've already answered that. There's a lot to talk about, right?
Yeah. Maybe I can just elaborate a bit on the YouTube channel. So what happened was, I'm a bit of a lazy guy when it comes to reading up on Google and stuff like that, you know. So I'm always looking for YouTube channels to enlighten me on any subject. So I was watching one or two other YouTubers doing videos, specifically South Africans making the immigration process to New Zealand. And there was one guy that did a full documentary of his journey, his personal story. And at that point, I had done quite an extensive amount of editing and stuff and video. So just due to my career, my own businesses and stuff, having to advertise. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to record my whole journey. So I recorded my whole journey from the reasons why I'm leaving South Africa, all the way to landing here, my experience here. It's about a two-hour-long documentary that I did, showing people why you make this move, because you still get a lot of people asking about why would you leave your loved ones, why would you do all of that. It just helped me, I think, also in a sense, to confirm why I'm doing what I'm doing.
This is fascinating, and Johan, in this era where we are, we're trying to be all over the world without leaving our house, you know, and the kind of thing that you and I are doing right now, and the notion of thinking about South Africa and New Zealand, and I don't know where, I guess where I'm going, we're in a new sort of global consciousness. You agree with that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think this is what I really enjoyed since I've become more of, I'm still a very small YouTuber, if you could put it that, or streamer, but I enjoy the interaction of all kinds of cultures all around the world, and you know, just finding the greater good in all human beings all over the world. And I've really enjoyed that, seeing how accepting Kiwis have been of us, me coming into the country. And you know, the Maoris really give you beautiful Maori welcomings, and it's helped me integrate into the country. So even though I haven't been able to speak to those people in person, you get that acceptance from people through comment sections, through live chats on streams. That helps you to, you just need to be accepted. That's all you want as an immigrant. And it really helps a lot, you know, in today's day and age, being able to do these things.
It's interesting. You know, we dubbed off the New Zealand national anthem, part of, as you know, part of which is in English and part of which is in Maori. And that got me thinking. Then you used the word Kiwi. What is a Kiwi? Is that a New Zealander?
I
looked at that, and I we have a lot of words here in the United States you don't say on the radio, and I don't want to blurt out, you know, Kiwi and find that it was something else. So
yeah, no worries. Now I'm going to educate you guys on all these things. So there's a lot when it comes to these Kiwi slang words. So Kiwi in general, a lot of people think it's the kiwi fruit that you eat, but that actually, as far as I know, comes from Japan.
Yeah.
This they do have a lot of kiwi as the fruit, but that's not what kiwi stands for. Kiwi is actually a indigenous bird of New Zealand. It's a flightless bird called a kiwi. And you don't find a lot of them around. They're indigenous. They're looking after them to preserve them. But those birds are basically the named after New Zealanders. So it's called kiwi, and it just stuck, I guess, over the years, and that's how we know it.
There's
this close relationship.
I was just going to say, MJ Kresser, and there's a brand of shoe polish in the United States. You ever see kiwi shoe polish? Comes in the round can. We used to do that.
Yeah.
I remember. I remember. That's what a kiwi looks like. So it's a flightless bird. It's 10 before the hour here on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show at Bleat.network here in Chicago. And we're talking to my friend Johan, who is the proprietor of a YouTube channel and is a blogger and lives in New Zealand. And this is all... This is cool. So you said you were listening to us a little bit before we came on here, John. And I was asking about some of these things that come up about New Zealand. For example, there's no tipping there, they say. Is that right?
Yeah. It takes a while to get adjusted to New Zealand and the way the culture works. But that's what's refreshing in many ways in New Zealand. The thing here is the minimum wage is so much higher. Your minimum wage here is now almost, I think, around $18 something, almost $19. So
Wow. Anyone
on a minimum wage, they really look after everyone, if you can put it that way. And you know, wages is very important. So labor in general in New Zealand is very, you can say expensive, but also well paid. So, you know, anyone can make a living here, is really what I'm trying to say. So it breaks down that higher class. It makes more of a middle class. So that's just a general thing. Kiwis would literally say to you, if you leave money, they'd look at you funny. And they'd be like, no, it's all good, mate. It's all good. And you'd be like, okay.
I just read that where they run outside and thinking that you left it by accident on the table.
They would do that,
yeah.
Definitely, because apart from the fact that they don't take tips, they're also very honest people. My last podcast was all about that, speaking about New Zealand and how honest people are, that they allow, I don't know with the US if it's also like that for all the stuff, but for me coming from South Africa, having people not having to sign for a parcel and it being delivered in front of your door, and you're assuming it's going to be there, or leaving a parcel in the post and assuming it's going to be there when you get home, to me is, utopia.
We don't have enough time to go off on Amazon for another half hour here, but we have some delivery issues here. I have a list of things people are asking about New Zealand, and one of the things is, it seemed to them that people were walking around New Zealand with no shoes on all the time. In fact, when I look at pictures, folks in New Zealand, you're always hiking, you're walking. So what about that? Are you outside a lot?
Yeah, definitely. So this is part of the lifestyle that attracted me, because I think South Africa, New Zealand, and Australia, due to rugby and just the Southern Hemisphere kind of lifestyle, it's a very outdoorsy type of lifestyle. But New Zealand, for me, depicts that, I think, probably New Zealand and Australia more, because they don't sit with the crime and all those kind of issues. So you can be out at any time of the morning, any time of the night. You're pretty safe in this country. I'm not saying there's the odd occasion, but people won't attack you on the roads while you're running and stuff like that. So you can go run. There's a big... And because New Zealand's so versatile in the stuff that you can go do, you can literally go... hiking, which is called, it's called tramping. That's the Kiwi slang for it. That's basically getting going hiking. And then just generally, people are very outdoorsy. People on their bicycles, people running. There's bike lanes everywhere, and very very active people. There's water around everywhere, so people are out at the beach if it's hot enough, if it's warm enough, going out. Sometimes when it rains, people still out. They don't really care about the rain. And just getting back to your no shoes thing, that is also, it's funny how, coming from South Africa, my children also grew up not wearing shoes to school. Well, they're still in school, but in South Africa, they're wearing no shoes. But here in New Zealand, people seem to... It was frowned upon if you dare to walk in public without shoes.
Yeah. Does this have...
Yeah, in New Zealand, no problem. No problem. You know, they got a saying here in New Zealand, she'll be all right, mate. She'll be all right. That's really the way it is. People are just so chilled.
What do they say? They say what? She'll be all right?
She'll be all right.
She'll be all right. Okay.
Yeah, she'll be all right. Yeah. She'll be all right, mate. Yeah.
This is all...
Slang, yeah.
I was thinking former British Empire, right? South Africa, New Zealand, and the shoes, and wow. New Zealand is diverse, though, is it not? You have many different people there.
Yeah. So I think originally you had more the English Europeans come in. New Zealand was literally... it was non-existent, and due to a lot of Teutonic movement and whatever, there was specific... I'm not going to go into the detail because I don't want to get it wrong. But, yeah, volcanic eruptions and stuff. And that's how New Zealand came up actually under the water. And the first Polynesians to discover it was the Maoris that came into New Zealand. And from there, you had the... I think it's Captain Cook from the British come in and then basically inhabit the New Zealand, and that's how that was the first two, I would say. And then from there, because New Zealand was a smaller country, they've pretty much grown the population over the last few years from, I think it was 4.7 million up to now, I think close to 5 million. And many South Africans coming in due to skills, because it's a lot closer for us to move here and it's similar lifestyles. So South Africans, a lot of Asians, all types of different Asian people, Indians. It's really a mixed bag. A lot of Polynesians coming from all the little islands from Tonga and Fiji and all over. So it's really a mixed bag, and it's so refreshing having, for me, coming from South Africa, not having any racial issues, and everyone's living together. And it's I won't say not any racial issues, but really not a lot. It's refreshing, yeah.
We're trying to, Johan, help me with your last name, Johan.
Help. So, I don't know if you guys watch much sport, but there was a guy called Ernie Els who played golf for years. He was pretty good from South Africa.
Yeah.
He had the surname Els, E-L-S. So it's pretty simple. It's just Els.
Okay.
And you're doing pretty well with the name. Some people can't do it. Yeah.
I'm looking up we're out of time for today, but can you and I do this again, please? I just looked, our new president is going to reach out to New Zealand, it says here. He's going to talk to Ardern, and I think you and I should talk. And we'll see who gets farther, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll get further. No, I'm joking. Yeah. No.
What a treat. So go to bleat.network and we'll put a little note so you can go to the YouTube channel. Johan Els, and from the Yanks to the Kiwis. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. It was awesome. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thank you. This Widecast is produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. We'll see you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.